Go. Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing preseason college basketball 2017-18 season podcasts. This is our Big 12 preview show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Riggs, John Lika, John Titel, and Joby Fortson for tonight's edition of Hoops HD. And this is our Big 12 show, and David, while you may not, when you think about basketball conferences, when you hear that word,
yeah,
is the Big 12 the first conference that comes to your mind?
It's one of them, yeah.
Well,
probably.
I mean, you really think ACC, Big East, though? Don't most people think that?
Probably, but those are now clusters and not conferences. This and the Big East are 10-team double round robin sort of rivalries, although the biggest one that used to be in this conference is gone now. But I don't know, like, when you look at the success and the percentage of teams that get in, it is one of the best. How can you say that it's not?
Well, and that's kind of where I was going, because if you look at KenPom's number one rated conference the last 4 years, each of the last 4 years, Big 12, Big 12, Big 12, Big 12. And yep, heading to the season this year, the same thing again. And Titel, is that deservedly so? Is KenPom right?
I guess you can certainly make the argument for it. I don't know that they're head and shoulders the dynasty of all conferences over the last several years. I believe a little conference called the Pac-12 had 330-win teams last year, if you like top-heavy conferences. Top to bottom, Big 12 can stack up with anybody, but the ACC won a national title last year, so I think there's room for argument.
Well, I guess where there's no room for argument is on who is going to win the Big 12 Conference this year, because it's going to be the same team that wins it every year. Joby, let me start off with you, the Kansas Jayhawks. Any chance they get dethroned this year?
There's always a chance. They are good once again. And there's distractions. We've talked about in other podcasts. And, you know, there's rumors swirling in this whole FBI, you know, this whole FBI Adidas stuff. And, you know, we'll see if something pops out of it. That could be a hiccup. But I love Graham. He's, having a good senior leader like him. They have their typical depth and Sure, they lose Jackson and some other, you know, very quality players, but it's a reload situation. It's not like the cupboard is bare. There is another team that I think that I'm high on personally, I think could challenge them. They're a little more inconsistent, but I think when Kansas walks into Morgantown, they just might get a loss.
A loss, but are they going to get enough losses to actually not finish first?
Yeah, I think there's another. I mean, Kansas is probably more consistent, so they'd still be my pick. Yeah. But watch out, because I think the Mountaineers could be, you know, we're talking – I'm so high on them, I could see them as a 2-seed or higher.
The Mountaineers. Oh, okay, never mind. I thought you meant Kansas.
Kansas, I could see as a 1-seed. Yeah. I know that's a shock to people across the country.
he mentioned that Jackson's gone. You got Frank Mason's gone. Landon Lucas gone. That is 45 points and 20 rebounds a game that's gone. Nothing to worry about, though, right?
Something to worry about. They have a lot of talent they brought in every year with freshmen like Billy Preston and transfers galore. If it takes time to get all the transfers on the same page and eligible, then there might be some growing pains, but it seems like we've seen this movie for the past 13 years and it always has the same ending, like you said. So you also have to like a team where Svi Mykhailiuk, I believe the only college basketball player who lettered in ping pong in high school.
Letter for ping pong.
That's interesting. Salika, wow. We find out a lot about Kansas very early in the season, though, aren't we? You're our schedule expert. What do we see coming up here second week of the season?
Well, there's going to be a game against Kentucky in Chicago as part of the Champions Classic. But other than that, there's not going to be much out of conference to test the Jayhawks. I mean, the closest they'll come is going to be a game at home against Texas A&M, which is actually part of the Big 12 and SEC challenge. But the only other notable non-conference games are going to be against Syracuse and Miami, Florida. They do have a return game at Nebraska that comes in December. Oh, scratch that.
David, this Kansas team, forget about the game he just mentioned, but you know, don't sleep on that A&M game. I know it's not till January, end of January, but we haven't done our SEC preview yet. That'll be coming up. For those of you watching this the day we post it, probably coming up on the site tomorrow. But A&M not going to be a bad team either.
No, not at all.
But how about
SEC? But Kansas already played a game. Kansas has played a game. They played a game. They played Missouri.
Tell us about it. I'll give you a shot here.
Well, okay. Well, what they ended up doing was that Kansas and Missouri were kind of the ones that spearheaded what we've been seeing with these charity exhibition games, which are being granted basically on a case-by-case basis by the NCAA, where all the proceeds go to charity. Kansas and Missouri hate each other to the point to where Kansas doesn't even want to play them just to stick it to Missouri because Missouri does want to play the game. Long history. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm in the camp of wanting to see them play again. But they did play for charity. They raised close to $2 million. It was great, and I think they should do it three or four times every year. And I think that they should play in the NCAA tournament every year.
Well, I'll tell you that, David, you and I both bought the stream of watch that game.
Yeah.
One thing that impressed me the most, really, was how good Devontae Graham looked in, you know, the end of October, already looking right. in almost midseason form the way he looked in that game. And if he can carry that through throughout the season, it's going to be a very impressive year. And I think this Kansas team is a definite Final Four contender.
Yeah, here. This is a running joke. It's going to be a little weird, stepping a little bit out of character. But you watched it. Were you? It's nothing like it was. It couldn't be because it's a meaningless exhibition on a neutral floor. It's not nearly what it was when it was a conference game. But were you? Even I was surprised at the amount of hostility and energy for a game that meant absolutely nothing. Were you, Chad?
Yeah,
not so much the players. They don't know each other. They were in junior high the last time they played. But the fans, holy crow!
And David, in all honesty, when you talk about the game, I do this to you.
Yeah.
but however, I got to say that game was intense. And in this case, I'm going to actually agree with you. They got to bring that rivalry back somehow. It was worth it.
Yeah.
Let's move down a little bit below Kansas. And Joby, let me turn to you. You hinted on the Mountaineers already. How good is this West Virginia team?
Yeah. I think they're very good. It's the best Huggy has slowly built this team over time. You might question some, losing Williams from in that regard on the inside. But when you have in his system a senior point guard that you can rely on, defensively is probably the most important component. I mean, he is a floor general out there in Javon Carter. I think that they are going to be even more suffocating than normal with West Virginia. It is going to be an awesome thing to watch. Yeah, Ahmad's going to be fine on the inside. And I just really see them loaded up for bear, and they're going to take a run at Kansas. Will they do it? Well, if history has shown us anything, they probably will not be able to do it. But they're my choice to be the bridesmaid if we get to that point. And I think that this is also the type of team that could actually make an NCAA run because of that senior leadership.
Well, he mentioned Ahmad, who is, by understanding, he's under an indefinite suspension to start the season. I guess we got to assume at some point he's going to come back. Is that what we're doing with this team?
I would assume, and a couple of other factors I want to mention. One, when you think of the best coaches in the Big 12, you automatically think of guys like Bill Self and maybe to a lesser extent Lon Kruger. Bob Huggins, 800-plus wins. I mean, I keep pushing him towards the Hall of Fame. He's not there yet, but I think he's on his way. Secondly, once Ahmad comes back, forming a great nucleus, this team was 3 points away from beating Gonzaga. This team, as Joby said, like, they're not that far off. I think that Kansas is still at the top. They are right there with them.
Stalika, do you agree that this West Virginia team is right there and maybe even has a shot to dethrone Kansas this year? Stalika?
Good take.
All right, we're going to try to get Stalika back. David, why don't you answer the question?
Well, what was the question?
David, the question was whether you think West Virginia can dethrone Kansas this year.
I don't. I like them a lot. I think they're going to be better than what most people expect them to be. It seems like that they always are. How many times do you look at the final rankings and see that they landed higher than where they started? But I don't think they're going to take down Kansas. Can they beat Kansas in Morgantown? Probably. Can they win enough road games in what is really, really a hard conference to win on the road? Probably not. If Kansas wins, I think I could see Kansas winning half their road games or close to it. I don't see Virginia doing that. I think Kansas gets it.
To answer Chad's question, I don't think West Virginia is going to dethrone Kansas, but I think they definitely have a shot to compete with teams like Baylor, TCU, and Texas for a second place here. But I also want to highlight West Virginia's opener, where they're actually going to be playing Texas A&M in Germany.
Texas A&M in Germany. That is the game of the day for the opening day, Friday, November 10th, by the way. Definitely worth watching if you're able to watch games, which different issue for me. But Tytel, let me go back to you here, and I want to talk about what could be one of the bigger stories this year, and it almost was last year, as Jamie Dixon came into TCU, a program that was completely lost in this conference, took them to the NIT championship, and is reloaded again this year, ready to go.
First of all, I have to take issue with you. There's a billion people in China who think there's a different biggest game on November 10th. Moving on. TCU is going to be great. They're coming off an NIT championship. Kenrich Williams, he missed all of the 2016 season with knee surgery. Now he's the reigning NIT MVP with a double-double in the title game win over Georgia Tech. He's got a huge crew of seniors, Vladimir Brodzianski, Ahmed Hamdi, Jamie Dixon, like you said, and their point guards are amazing. They got Alex Robinson, who had 11 assists in the title game win, Jalen Fisher, who was the hotshot freshman. Even on the staff, grad assistant Corey Santee, the most assists in school history. Top to bottom, coach to players, they're stacked.
They're stacked. Can they finish second? Can they be better than West Virginia?
They can, but I'm going to have to ask Stalika about the schedule, because it's who you play and how you match up.
Well, Stalika, let's throw it to you. What about TCU's schedule?
I think this is going to be a little reminiscent of what happened 3 years ago when TCU won. I think it was their first 13 or 14 games and somehow got a top 25 out of it. Yeah. This year it might be a little more legitimate with games against Southern Methodist and either Maryland or St. Bonaventure as part of the Emerald Coast Classic. But also keep an eye out for the game at Vanderbilt, which is also part of the Big 12 and SEC Challenge. But their toughest game is actually going to be, I think, against Nevada, which is going to be played at the Staples Center.
Yeah, they do have a pretty weak schedule, although some of the teams they play from these smaller conferences are teams that we may be talking about as being the tops of those conferences, but it's still the South Dakotas and the Texas Southerns of the world and not power conference teams. But, David, you're pretty high on this TCU team as well, aren't you?
I like them a lot. I one of the things I think they needed to do when you go into a conference that's as rough as this, I think they need to get themselves at least one big hostile road game just to condition themselves for it. If you look at teams that do that and how they do early in conference play when they go on the road, it's no question. But they're putting a little more pressure on themselves in conference play because they're just – not going to get I don't see where they're going to get that one big out of conference win against a solid tournament caliber team. But I do like this team. I don't like them as much as you. I have them about third or fourth, whereas you think they're second, but I do like them. And holy crap, has Jamie Dixon done an amazing job. All those great teams he had at Pitt, and he had several. I think I was as impressed last year as I was with any coaching job he's ever done, simply because of how far, how fast he brought a really dormant TCU team.
Yeah, and Joby, he makes a real good point there about the schedule. TCU's first true road game of the season will be on January 2nd at Baylor in conference play already. They may not be ready for conference play with that.
Yeah, they will have a pretty looking RPI, though. And I don't say that, you know, lightly. When you play the Nevadas, and South Dakota States of the world, you actually can pile up a nice, because the most important thing is what's your opponent's record, not your own. And they're going to get a nice little bump from that. That's the computer component. But TCU, this TCU team is molded in the vision of Jamie Dixon, and that's impressive. And he's done a great job. They have a senior point guard leadership, which, you know, that's something I've already talked about with West Virginia. That's very important. I don't see – I think West Virginia is clearly ahead of them. I think, though, TCU is clearly an NCAA team, and because it's Jamie Dixon, they will clearly lose in the first round as a foul.
As far as under the radar is, Joby, they play South Dakota, the Coyotes, not South Dakota State.
Oh, sorry. Well, both of them are good, though, actually.
They're actually both going to be good at a tough summer league this year. But we'll
I got a question for the panel. This just jumped into my head. And Joby being in that vicinity, West Virginia and Pitt, the border war is back. Is it this year? I think it's this year that they're renewing it. Jamie Dixon, interestingly enough, is, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the things that was holding that up, because I think Huggins was ready to go. What is, like, now it's just ironic. Here they are in the same conference again, and I realize that they are not exactly geographic rivals or natural rivals, but the temperature between Dixon and Huggins, what is it? Because that's kind of interesting to me. They did not like each other back in the Big East.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, but particularly, I don't think they got along all that well back in the Big East days.
Yeah,
they played different styles. It'll be very interesting. The style.
Yeah. West Virginia, getting back to that very briefly, a very interesting first week of December they're going to have when they host Virginia and then go to Pitt in the same week. Going to be a real telling set that week for the Mountaineers. But
And going to Pitt might not seem like a big deal, but at least that will be an intense game or an intense environment against a weak team. And unlike TCU, I think they're going to come in the conference play very conditioned.
Well, Joby, let me turn back to you and talk about another team that I think you and I are both also pretty high on in this conference this year. And how about Shaka's Longhorns?
Yeah, I think this is the year we finally see what havoc, you know, had brought, so to speak, to the Big 12. And when you do such a structural change, I was talking about structural change between Dixon and Huggins teams, that's a similar type of structural change that Smart had to do coming from Barnes. It's actually very similar in change. He finally has players that kind of fit his system a little bit. I love Matt Coleman as a freshman, by the way. Watch this kid. He's going to be something really nice and special on top of that. He's not getting a lot of press, but I really personally like him. Andrew Jones is going to have a good year. And I think finally Texas, though, if you look at what's going on in the football program, you pray that for their sake that they don't have the same issues, but it seems like a continuation of all these close losses they had last year. They will be the team, once again. Kansas isn't going 18-0. You're going to lose some road games. I think one of them will be in the drum. And wins like that will allow Texas, I think, as you have put the order out, to be ahead of some other pretty darn good teams and be in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I love this Texas team. Yeah.
Yeah, and Tytel, I know that you typically are not very high on teams that are built around freshmen and sophomores, which is what this Texas team is, between Coleman and obviously Mo Bamba as well, who may be the number one pick next year from some people are saying. But what is your thought on them?
Well, I'll call you out on that because Bamba is the bomb. But I think this team has a lot more juniors than you're giving them credit for, mostly from transfer purposes. Elijah Long from Mount St. Mary's, Dylan Osadkowski from Tulane. They still have, I believe, Eric Davis and Kerwin Roach. So while they have some younger players, if Bamba sticks around more than 1 year, which I don't think he will, next year I think they can make a serious run. But even though they're young, they do have a decent junior class, I guess is my point.
Okay. Salika, let me turn to you and stay in the state of Texas. How about the Baylor Bears? Do they get back in the field again this year as well?
They're going to be coming off a Sweet 16 for the first time in about 3 or 4 seasons last year, but they're not going to have the same level of talent. They're not going to have Jonathan Motley or Ishmael Wainwright, but they're still going to have some remaining guys like Manu Bacante and Jake Lindsey and Luau Seal. I hope I'm not butchering that name. But they're going to have a few decent games on their schedule. They're going to be part of the CBE Hall of Fame Classic, which includes Wisconsin and either UCLA or Creighton. They go back to Xavier next year's to cap that home and home. And after that, they'll host Wichita State down in Waco. And also playing some dude named Randall as a non-D1 game late in December.
Oh, that's an important game there. But David, you agree with him. You think that this Baylor, despite Motley being gone, this team is still good enough to put together a solid season and a solid seed even?
Yeah, I think so. I still like them. And again, they're another one of those teams that always seems to end up much better than what we were expecting. I don't even think they were in the rankings to start the year last year, and they're typically not. So eventually it gets to a point to where and Wisconsin's kind of there as well, although were you just almost expecting them to do well regardless of what's being said about them now out of habit. But, yeah, I definitely think that they're a tournament-caliber team.
They weren't in the rankings at the beginning of the year, but they made a big splash down in Atlantis where they beat Michigan State, Louisville, and
yeah.
I think it was Wichita or somebody else in their opener.
Right, and they just exploded, and then they beat. I mean, they just shot up the rankings.
Well, Joby, beyond these teams here, who's the next best team? Do you think? Are we getting towards the bubble in the Big 12, or maybe a couple more solid teams?
I guess it'd be Oklahoma.
Okay. Yep.
But I think there's a drop. I think there's a significant drop there. You're debating Oklahoma or Texas Tech, and that's the line, I think, between the NCAA and the NIT teams, to be honest. I'd go with – like I said, I think Trae Young is an intriguing freshman at Oklahoma, and that's where I'd probably go. Plus, you got to trust Lon Kruger. He's pretty darn good coach there.
Well, Christian Doolittle is suspended for academically for the fall semester. He will be back, I guess, mid-December or so.
If he's eligible.
And the team lost 20 games last year. Is this really – can Lon Kruger get them back in the field?
I mean, he's the first coach to ever take five teams to the tourney, so I don't like to pick against them. I think they're a year away, and they seem to be very good on the perimeter. They need to develop the points and the bigs. Christian James, Rashard Odoms, Cameron McGusty are solid shooting guards and wings, but they need a little more. But following up on Joby, I've heard Trae Young is fantastic. I think Bamba is going to be the rookie of the year in this conference, but I think Trae Young could give him some serious competition.
All right. David, Joby also mentioned Texas Tech, where Chris Beard actually did a pretty darn good job last year.
Yes, he did.
Coming in almost at the last minute there, too, taking a couple different jobs before he got there. But what are your thoughts on this Texas Tech team this year?
I think they will continue to improve, but I think I don't see them. They're not one of my teams that I'm picking to get into the tournament. Like Chris Beard, I think he's going to do real well there. I just think they're swinging a little bit over their heads this year with what everybody else in the conference seems to have.
Yeah, Stalika, Texas Tech, I believe no road wins at all last season. Can they fix that problem?
Well, they're not going to be able to fix that until the middle of the season. They're going to have some.
Good point. Go ahead.
At least as far as true road games go, but as part of the Hall of Fame tip-off in the Mohegan Sun, they'll play Boston College in either Northwestern or LaSalle, and then they have a game against Seton Hall, which is, I think, part of the Under Armour reunion at Madison Square Garden. But their only true road game outside of the Big 12 is going to be Angry Frank's Bunch at South Carolina as part of a SEC Big 12 challenge.
Yeah,
and that's now two Big 12 teams we've talked about that really aren't playing any road games, and that's non-conference, and that's kind of a problem, David, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, well, to me, we do the Mont Committee every year for those of you that are just finding us for the first time and don't know that. And there's a particular, like, a criteria that kind of jumps out at me. I like to value road wins. I don't know if you all have picked up on that or not. But I don't see how – I mean, when you look at the teams that are typically on the first ballot and safely inside the bubble, they all have – done something on the road, and most of them have managed at least one tournament win against a tournament caliber team away from home out of conference. And if you don't have that and you're not at least four games over 500, you're almost in league play, you're almost certain to not get in. So I think that you put more pressure on yourself, actually, in because you're ending up taking a pass on building what's an important part of your NCAA tournament resume prior to conference play when you schedule like that.
Tytel, we're sitting here, we've just discussed seven different teams from the Big 12, and we haven't discussed a team that was a five seed in the tournament last year at Iowa State. Is that how far this team is going to fall this year?
That's what I keep reading, and they've lost a lot of good players. I get that. I love Steve Prohm as a coach, and I love the senior class. Very transfer heavy. Hans Braes, because he didn't have enough joy last year at Princeton going undefeated, although he had a torn ACL. So the fact that he avoided a near career-ending knee injury, I guess I'm a little happy for him. That's a little. Jeff Beverly comes in from Texas San Antonio after graduating. Zoran Talley was the conference sixth man of the year after previously being at ODU. So Prohm is gathering all these guys from around the country. Senior class is good. I don't know if there's enough talent beneath them. So if they don't win it this year, it might be a big drop-off next year.
Yeah, well, do you think they're a tournament team this year?
It's a great question. I guess Bubblicious, in a very deep conference, that's the thing. You can still finish under 500 in the Big 12, but if you rack up a win against West Virginia here and TCU there, it's going to really help the RPI, especially on the road, David. So I'll say no, but it wouldn't surprise me because they're close.
Well, Joby, another team that also made the field last year we haven't discussed yet is Kansas State.
Yes.
They belong there or not, they did make the field last year.
Yeah, Mr. Weber. I think Kansas State comes back down to earth. They take the spot of I don't know if they'll be last, but they're going to be competing for last. And I'm sorry, I just – don't have the faith in their head coach that I do. And when I said, like, talking about Mr. Kruger earlier, Owondo graduating is, or leaving is unfortunate for them. I think they're going to be a little lost this year. I really do. They're going to be the weak link. But when K-State is your ninth or 10th best team in a 10 team conference, that's still pretty darn impressive. That's why their RPI, it's the conference RPI is so good, because they'll still be fine long term out of conference.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a couple guards in Stokes and Brown that I do like. I don't know that they have the depth and the front court that they did even last year, David. And that's why I think that Joby's right. This could be a pretty decent team that's competing for last place.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. Yes.
Well, David, let's
say
talk
what
about
you will about Kansas State, but we owe them a huge debt of gratitude for not letting Syracuse into the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah.
David, how about last place? The only team we haven't discussed yet, Oklahoma State. Brad Underwood, one and done. Is that what we call it?
Yes. Yeah, the one and done, Brad Underwood. And something needs to be done about that, like the one and done situation, as people are always saying. But I don't know, like, it seems odd to say this because of, like, how good they've been recently, but Okie State just doesn't have it. And when you look at how, you know, strong this league is from top to bottom, I kind of think that they're a decent team that could do well in a lot of leagues, but is really, really going to struggle in this one.
Yeah, and Tytel, also another team that was subject to the FBI investigation. One of their assistant coaches indicted. A mess here in Oklahoma State this year.
I was unaware of that investigation. Has that affected any other teams? I was unaware of that.
I guess you weren't being an Arizona guy. Joby, maybe you should get that question then.
I will say this. Jeffrey Carroll has the potential maybe to lead the conference in scoring, just because no one else on that team could score.
There you go.
I'm serious. He could be close to a 20-point game guy. I mean, but of course, they might only score 50 a game. So, hey, what's it worth? And he can light it up from three. So, who knows? Teams might extend their defense and prevent him even from doing his damage. But we'll see.
Well, if they do,
they're a mess. They're the expression "hot mess." That would be Oklahoma State.
Well, if they do finish in last place, even if Carroll leads the conference in scoring, I don't think he's going to be player of the year. But Tytel, who do you think will be player of the year in the Big 12?
I think it's wide open, but I did not see Graham because I'm not paying money to see Graham. But it sounded like you did and you liked him and he's got a good resume. So I'll go with Devontae.
I'll go with Devontae. David, do you want to go with Devontae also? Haven't seen that game?
Yeah, I'll go with him after seeing that game.
Okay. But let me do now what we do at the end of each of these shows. I'm going to run through each of you and ask you who your pick is to win the conference and how many teams we'll get from the field. And Sleeka, let me start with you.
Before we go, David, aren't we forgetting to discuss Colorado here?
Yeah, why aren't we discussing that? Well, I was
in Missouri.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I'm going to be great.
I like the chat. Thank you, chat.
Sleeka.
In all seriousness, I'm going to say that five teams, at least five teams, are going to be locks in the Big 12, and that's going to be Kansas, West Virginia, TCU, Texas, and Baylor. And I'll take either Iowa State or Oklahoma to get bid number six out of the Big 12.
All right. Tytel?
Are you telling me that a Texas team that lost 22 games last year is a lock? Come on,
yes,
man.
They are. Oh, they are. I agree with that.
Three locks top, but I'm a little cautious with my locks. I think six will make it, and I think that it's going to be great seeing Kansas win yet another conference title.
Tytel, I also think that a 22 and a 20 loss team from last year are both making the field out of this conference, in both Texas and Oklahoma among the six, along with Kansas, TCU, West Virginia, and Baylor. Kansas taking the crown for the 537th year in a row. Joby, your thoughts on it?
I mean, I'm with everybody on Kansas. And if Kansas wins, I think Graham is the player of the year. But if West Virginia can make that run, like I said, Javon Carter would have to jump. And that just tells you how good the point guards are in this league. I mean, this league has just look at every team and you go, wow, either the best or second best player on every team is a point guard in a lot of cases, like Evans, et cetera. They're seniors, and they're not just the young hot studs. So, yeah, but five, I think there's a gap. I think there's a significant gap from wherever you draw the line, Texas, let's say, and Oklahoma. I think there's a gap there.
You mentioned the point guards. You do have a couple of good freshman point guards coming in, too.
I mean, yes, you do. I said Coleman from Texas, obviously. Yeah.
And we've also got Trae Young. Yes, thank you.
Trae Young.
Dave's for a second there. Yeah. David, your thoughts on the Big 12?
Well, this conference, I don't even recall the last time they didn't send at least five. It seems like they always send half, and they normally send more. So I'm going to go with six. Kansas, obviously, winning it all. I like West Virginia a lot, like TCU a lot. I like both Texas and Oklahoma, and I like Baylor, and it wouldn't surprise me if another team pushed for it as well. One of the things about the streak that Kansas has been on, I mean, as impressive as it's been, you have to put a little bit of an asterisk by it, because when Tim Miles got to Nebraska, they had already left this conference, and you got to assume they would have won at least a few Big 12. What the hell? I'm trying to finish my take here. Why does Chad get I think I should be in charge of the buzzer from now on.
Sure, David, whatever. You're still on a show cause penalty after what you did the other night on the Big 10.
Oh, you mean last night when I got Rickrolled by charity.
I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us on our Big 12 preview show. If you scroll down the website, you can see some of our other shows we recorded previously. If it's as couple days from now, you may be able to scroll up and find some more shows up there. But I am your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Tytel, Joby Fortson, John Sleeka, David Griggs. You guys were in different spots when we started this show. How do we do that? however we did that, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again real soon.